desire and interest in your prayers tonight. It's good to be back in Green Bank. It has been a little while. Do I need this clipped on or not? Okay. It has been a while since we've been here, and it's good to be back with God's people in this part of the country. And that's a blessing that we can come from different distances and we can all be at home with God's people. And I desire an interest in your prayers tonight. Have a burden from the Lord that He gave to me to share this evening. And this message that the Lord put on my heart, just so you all know, is nothing new. And I've said for quite a while, if it's something new, then you all need to be real cautious. Because I want to preach and share the same old gospel, because that's where the power is. A no-so experience. If you will turn with me to the book of Luke, to the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter of Luke, will begin reading with verse 17. Now, Jesus had sent the 70 out to preach the gospel and to minister to those that were hurting. And it said the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." You know, tonight, I believe that if we were to have a meeting here tonight, that if everybody that was sick and had an ailment, if you just came forward and were prayed for and were instantly healed, those that had emotional needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, and all that it took was just coming forward and instantly every need here was taken care of, do you think there'd be joy in the house tonight? I dare say there would be. There would be rejoicing because we have seen the presence of God. And we have experienced His power. And we have experienced something divine. The closest, and not just the closest, the reality. I've been in places, and you know, I had an experience a few years ago in Pakistan. When I came home from this experience, I didn't say a lot about it because it had moved me so deeply. But I saw devils cast out. Saw the Lord work in divine ways where instantly there were many people that came forward in a country that was 97% Muslim. Very few people believed in the power of Jesus Christ. Had hundreds of people in attendance and shared the simple gospel message that there is power in Jesus Christ. Amen. And there were many people that were brought forward that were possessed with demons and devils. There were those that were completely unconscious that were dragged, that were literally dragged up to the front where we were. There were those that were basically just shaking and having convulsions. And every single one of those people that came forward, that was brought forward by a loved one, they went off this pulpit area with their hand in the air giving God glory because Jesus Christ instantly delivered them from the power that Satan had in their life. I have never seen that before, and I've never experienced it since, but I got a little glimpse of what these disciples, when they came back, they say, "We saw the power of God. We saw those that were addicted to sin and those that were in bondage. We saw a divine deliverance." This morning, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ still has power to set the captive free. There is still power tonight when we look on situations and we say it is impossible for anything to change. There is still a God in heaven that is looking down that can do what man cannot do. We have a God tonight that is still in the business of working the impossible, and I thank God for that. So they came back rejoicing. "Even the devils are subject unto us in Thy name." And listen to what Jesus said. He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." He wasn't saying that Satan was up in the celestial heavens with God. But He said, "I saw Satan in the ecclesiastical heavens." He had spiritual dominance and power in men and women's lives. But through the name of Jesus Christ, Satan has fallen from that high and lifted up place. And now Christ is glorified. He said, "Behold." And in context, it's so clear. He went on to say, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know that scripture is just as applicable for us tonight. There is a power that is greater than every temptation that you might be facing in life. If there are hidden sins in your life that maybe nobody knows about, and it seems like you have tried to do better and keep falling back to that old life of sin, there is a power tonight that can reach down and lift you up and give you deliverance from that thing. Amen. The Lord can change your life tonight. Amen. But Jesus went on to say, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. In other words, there's something even more than that that you have to rejoice about. He said, "Rejoice in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because why? Because your names are written where? In the church book? No, your names are written in heaven. Thank God. Do you realize tonight if we saw a visible working of the Lord, we would say, oh, God surely came down. But I will share with you in my own experience. I remember when the Lord came down and I saw devils cast out. But you know, in the hardships of life, in the temptations of life, that experience did not get me through. But there was a present power with God in my life that brought light in the darkness. He brought freedom where there was captivity. He brought deliverance where I was struggling in my life. The Lord Jesus has something greater for us to rejoice about tonight, and that is that our names have been written in heaven. Tonight, if you are saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have reason to rejoice tonight. Do you know man didn't write my name down? And thank God man can erase it. Which means this, and I want you all to think well of me. Not everybody does. You know how that is. But the fact of the matter is, I'm in this to please the Lord. I'm in this to please the One that saved me. And when I'm going through the difficulties of life, to know that my name is written in heaven. We sang the song tonight, I am a child of who? I'm a child of God. Do you know that gives peace? Talk about peace from heaven. There is a peace tonight in knowing where you stand with God. Having a know-so experience that during the difficulties of life, what will carry you through many times is knowing my name is written in heaven. And I'm a child of God. And by His grace, I'm going to make it through. Oh, rejoice in this. Tonight, if you cannot rejoice, you can leave here tonight rejoicing. Because there is an experience for all of us, young and old alike, that we can know that our names are written in heaven. I remember as a young boy, and I got saved when I was about 4 years old. I remember the Spirit of the Lord dealing with my heart. I remember where I was. I remember the tears flowing down my cheeks. I remember the prayer that was prayed. And the Lord met me. But do you know when children get saved, there is still maturing to be done. Yeah. And just because I was saved, and Aunt Shirley can testify to that, that didn't mean I never got any spankings as a child. It didn't mean I was the perfect child and always obeyed and always did, but I love the Lord. But there comes a time in life when young children get saved. As they mature, they come to a place that there is a time of rededication to the Lord. The Lord, I got saved back then, but I've had to mature and grow up a little bit. And Lord, I want you to know that I love you. And my purpose is to follow you all the days of my life. Because I don't want the enemy to cloud my mind with coming and saying, well, you're not really saved. Has the enemy ever told anybody else that? You're not really saved. Read a story, a lady came to D.L. Moody one time. She said, I've been saved for 25 years. And she said, I've never doubted it once. And his response was, well, I doubt you're really saved then. Do you know because of this? And I know we get in trouble for talking that way today, don't we? But the fact of the matter, matter is, when you get saved, the enemy is going to contest it.
Right.
When you love the Lord, the enemy is going to contest it. And we need to know tonight that our names are written in heaven. If we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and we're living free from sin, when the enemy brings accusations out, I want to be able to go to the Word of God and say, my name is written in heaven.
Amen.
But I don't want to have a false experience tonight. I don't want to just have a profession. And I know we start getting uncomfortable when we start talking about hypocrites. But you know what a hypocrite is by definition? It's an actor. It's an actor. I can put up a front. He sure is a spiritual brother. But what's going on when you're not around? How am I living my life when I'm not around God's people? What's going on behind closed door in my home with my wife and my children? When I get away from camp meeting and when I go to work, how am I talking? What am I looking at? What am I listening? How am I living my life? Folks, there is an experience tonight that you can live holy before the Lord every single day, and you can know that your name is written in heaven. It's more than what people think about you then. Because whether they think poorly or highly of you becomes fairly irrelevant. Because, Lord, I'm pleasing you. And Lord, everything in my life I want to do according to your word. So tonight, do you know that you're saved? Do you know? Do you have that assurance? Let's sing a verse of that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Blessed assurance. There is an assurance tonight. And when you get in difficult times and when the battles of life comes, there is a rest that is found in knowing that I'm a child of God. And you know what? When you're a child of God, you're going to make it. When you're a child of God, but where there is confusion and where there are doubts and where there are fractures in your experience with the Lord, it's when going through difficulties, they're not easy. And you know, it's miserable to not really know if you're ready to meet God. Does anybody else know how that is? I remember, again, it's after I was saved, but you know, sometimes you get in this place, and sometimes children and young people get in a place that their desires to do right, but there's not a real clearness in their experience. And I remember someone coming holding a revival meeting, and I was just a little boy, so, well, how are you doing? I'm fine. Well, how are you doing spiritually? And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about my life and kind of start shuffling a little bit and get a little bit nervous because now I'm being accountable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know there's a walk with God tonight? And we don't have to be afraid of that walk. There is an experience tonight that is an experience of peace. It's an experience of assurance. It's an experience that even when I fell a little bit short there, and Lord, I wish I would have had more grace. Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you help me to grow? Would you help me to do better next time? Lord, would you help me to have a greater victory next time? But all the time that, Lord, you know my heart, and I love you, and I know my name's written in heaven. Do you know that will carry us through, saints? But if we're not living a clear life tonight, it's miserable. There's nothing much more miserable than having just a halfway experience and you're not quite certain and your testimony of salvation doesn't have that clear ring. And you know what? No one else can answer that for us. This is a very personal thing tonight. But does your testimony, is your life back it up? Do you have that assurance that, yes, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? There are groups of people that teach that you can't know if you're ready to go. There are those that teach that you can never really know if you're saved or not, and you have to wait till the end. Folks, the Bible teaches us something differently than that. That's why Jesus told His disciples, yes, you're rejoicing because the devil is saved, but you can rejoice because you know your names are written in heaven. I know tonight. And it is a blessing to know. And I would tonight that each and every one of us, and this is my challenge in the Lord tonight, that when each and every one of us walk out those doors tonight, that as we go through them, we can say, I know. What do you know? I know I'm saved. I know my name's written in heaven. I know I'm consecrated fully to the Lord. And I know I have the gift of the Holy Spirit tonight. There is an experience in God that you can know those things tonight. And if it's a little bit cloudy and you say, well, I think I do, there is an experience that you can get from the Lord tonight that you can have an assurance. Because the Lord wants to give us this kind of life and experience. If you will turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Folks, life is only found in Jesus tonight. Amen. True life, abundant life, victorious life is only found in what the Lord has to offer. The world is offering a lot of things that glitter tonight. The world is offering some temporary pleasure. The world is offering some temporary fun. But folks, that's the thing. It's temporary. It doesn't last. It won't carry you through. But we have something tonight in Jesus that I have found life. And I found it more what? Abundantly. Jesus has an abundant life for us tonight. And if you're living down in the dregs of, well, I'm barely making it and I think I'm ready and I hope if He comes back, I hope I can make it. Folks, there's an experience tonight that you can, without self-righteousness, say, by the grace of God, I'm ready. By the grace of God, I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What an assurance. Well, he went on in verse 13. He said, these things have I written unto you. Now, why did he write these things? He said that if we have... verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I've written this for your knowledge. That you can have an assurance. And that you can know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. John wrote this so we could know we could have eternal life. Which means that the apostle knew that there might be some doubt sometimes. Now, just because the devil presents doubts does not mean that we're not ready to meet God. The enemy deals in confusion. The enemy deals with generalities. But the Holy Spirit, when He deals with our life, He deals with specifics. You are not ready because there is this thing in your life. Now, no one else may know about it, but I know my struggles. I know the needs in my life. And the Spirit of the Lord, when He speaks, He will speak clearly with distinction so I can know the things I need to take care of in my life. Saints, there is not going to be any surprises at the judgment. I'm not going to stand before God and say, oh, if you would have told me. He's going to judge us on the things that He has made very clear to us in this life. There is not going to be any ambiguity with the dealings of the Spirit of God with us individually tonight. But there is an experience that we can say, I know where I'm at with God because I have responded to the call of the Spirit. So then the question is, Have we responded? Do you know tonight? You may not always know when. And I know we surely do not always know how. But I do know this, as the man of old in the Scripture said, I don't know exactly how it happened, and I'm not even sure who it was, but I know I was blind. And now I see. There was a change that took place. Maybe I can't line it all out theologically. And maybe I don't all... Because I remember as a young man coming before the Lord. And I want to share this experience if it can be a help to somebody here. But I love the Lord as from a young age. But I remember coming to a place in my life that I came to the Lord in prayer, and I was praying by myself, and I said, Lord, I don't even hardly know what to ask for. I don't know, Lord. I was struggling with some stuff, and Lord, I can't even explain it all, but I know I need some assurance. And Lord, for the places that I failed, I'm sorry. And Lord, I want You to come in, and I want to have the assurance that I'm saved, and I want to know I have the power with God, and I want to know I'm right with You. Folks, we don't have to have every T cross tonight, but what the Lord is looking for is an open, honest heart that we can come and say, Lord, here I am. I want to go away from here saying, I know I'm ready to go. I may not understand how I got where I am. I may not understand why I fell like I did, but Lord, I bring You all of that tonight, and I want to go with a no-so experience that I can leave with an assurance in my heart that all is under the blood of Jesus, and I'm ready to meet God. You have that experience tonight. How are we saved? Ephesians, second chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. He said, for by grace. Now, how do we know we can have this experience? Is it if we'll try harder? Is it if we can just be good enough? Maybe we can put up a star chart. I remember in Sunday school as a boy, and I didn't like them, but that was personal. They had that star chart in the more memory verses you said. Maybe if y'all do that, that's okay. Children, it's a good challenge. But we got those stars up there. In one of those things, and you can call it pride or whatever you want, but one of the things that caused us to learn more verses was we didn't want to get, you know, behind in our stars. And so we kept learning those verses to get more stars. Do you know we could put up a chart tonight and say, well, we're going to check attendance. We're going to check these things in your life. But folks, when it comes down to it, where is our salvation? Yeah. Our salvation is in nothing but through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. The Scripture says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Why? Lest any man should boast. Salvation, it does not come by our good works tonight. I do not want to stand in the shoes of the self-righteous when I stand before God. Because I have been so holy. And I have done this. And I have done that. And I was just a little higher spiritual plane than most of them in the congregation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't want to stand in those shoes. I am saved tonight because of what Jesus Christ did for me. None of us deserve salvation tonight. And if there have been things in your past that you think, I don't deserve it, and I don't know how I can ever come to that place to really be free from some of the things I've done. Folks, none of us were worthy tonight of salvation, but we are saved by the grace of God. It is a gift tonight. And it is a gift the Lord wants to give to each one of us, that we can all walk out saying, I know, I have a no-so experience. I'm not in doubt anymore because I received of God's grace. Amen. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast. And if anybody ever gets in that position, they start thinking they're just a little bit more spiritual, I would say it's time to get back down to the basics. Yeah. It's time to get back down to the place that I can recognize in my own life and in those around me that we are saved by grace, not because we're in these four walls tonight. It's not just because there's a sign that says Church of God, but we are in the Church of God because we've entered through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how I know tonight that I'm saved. It was because God did something divine in my life. Man didn't put me in the church, and thank God man can't put me out of it because it's something divine, see? But then when God has bestowed that grace upon us, when God has given us that divine work, you know there's going to be something that's going to start coming out of our life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So how can I have a no-so experience? I can know I'm saved because of God's grace. I believe. I repented of my sins. And then now there's some evidence. I'm a new creature. I'm not the person that I used to be. There was a change in my life. Folks, the Lord brings about a change in our life. It's not enough to come up and kneel. It's not enough to shake some preacher's hand somewhere. It comes by coming through the blood of Jesus. The Lord, I am sorry for my sin and I confess it. I bring those things that were done in darkness. I bring them to light that now they can be covered back up by the blood of Jesus Christ. That I can know, go now, putting those things that are behind, see? I can put those things in the past and I can reach forward and know that I'm saved. Amen. Because of God's great, miraculous, divine mercy and love. And that is how tonight that I know where my name is. I know I'm saved. Do you know tonight? Do you have that assurance tonight of where you're at? There are some ways that we can look into the Word of God and know that we're saved. Salvation brings a change. And John addresses some things. If you will turn with me to the second chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 3. He said, "Hereby we do know that we know Him." Now, this is how we can know we really know the Lord. If there is confusion tonight, let's examine. Let's do some testing in our life tonight. Yeah. Hereby we do know that we know Him if. Now, if is a conditional word. Yeah. If we keep His commandments. Yeah. He that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But you know, John, he got down to the point. Yeah. And he didn't pull any punches. But he said, we know the Lord if we keep His commandments. The Scripture says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?" It's sin. That's what sin is. Folks, sin is what separates us from God. Now understand, sin is a moral violation and a moral infraction that puts distance and separates us from God, where God's mercy will rest. But we are still human. There are still areas that we are growing in grace. Amen? We are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? There are still things in our life that we are growing in. Don't allow the enemy to come and convince you that you're not saved anymore because you fell a little bit short of the grace that God had for you. Did you sin? Did you commit a moral violation? And a lot of that goes back to the Ten Commandments. But what was the greatest commandment of all? It was love. We need to start testing. How is our obedience tonight? Do you know we can rationalize lots of things in our minds? We can have all kinds of little focus groups after service, and we could break apart, pull out all the hot button issues, and we'd end up about where we started, frankly. But do you know what it comes down to? It comes back down to, where is my heart? Now, if you may say, "I don't understand what the saints have taught about that," and I'm not clear about this, and many times people use those areas that they don't understand as excuses to violate things they do understand. See? So the question for us tonight then, if I want to have a no-so experience, am I being obedient to the Lord in the areas that I know He's calling for in my life? Am I being diligent? Am I being faithful? And you know, only we can answer that for ourselves individually tonight. We know Him by keeping His commandments. Professing to salvation, folks, it doesn't cut it. Because we live in a world where a lot of people say, and they do not. I am thankful for God's love and His mercy. Because you know, when I got saved, I was just getting started on a journey. I was just getting started. I was being equipped for this journey in life. And it didn't mean that I did everything humanly perfect. It didn't mean that I never have to say, I'm sorry. It didn't mean that I ever said, Lord, would you forgive me and help me, Lord? I want to grow, and Lord, I find that in areas where you have failed, the Lord has this way of bringing another opportunity.
Yes.
Have you found that to be so? Said, Lord, I wish I could do it over. Lord's saying, just wait. Just wait a little while and I'll bring another test along. I'll bring another opportunity along. But you know, God's grace is there for us if we'll put our trust in it.
Yes.
It'll work for us. But don't allow the devil to steal from you your salvation if you're living without sin. But folks, if there's sin in your life and there are those things that have been covered up, we don't need to be afraid tonight. Because the Lord's saying, oh, just bring it to me. Just bring it to me and you can have a no-so experience that I know I'm saved. Young people, you can have an experience tonight that does not have to be clouded with the doubts of what has happened in your past. Young married couples, there is an experience tonight that you can have that maybe there are some failures in the past and you're in a place that you love the Lord, but there's been some areas you're just a little confused about where you really stand with God. That can be cleared up tonight. And there's no need, it's miserable to be in that place because there's the desire to do right, but there's some ambiguity there. If we just come back to the Lord in a time of rededication and reconsecration to the Lord and reaffirm our vows to God, we can go out knowing where we are with the Lord tonight. What about our love? You know, the foundation of our experience with God has to do with our love. It's about a love relationship with God. And there are those that say, I love God, but you know, love is really proven by the choices that we make. Our priorities. Where our focus, what makes you burn tonight? And by that I don't mean the bad burn. I mean the thing that gets you enthused. The thing that, the fire, the thing that excites you, what is it? Do you know there is nothing that excites me more and enthuses me than be under the anointing and the power of God when the Spirit of the Lord comes down? I would choose that above any thrill ride that is out there. But do you know it comes down to where your love is tonight? But do you know the Scripture says, if our love is lukewarm, what does the Lord say He's going to do? He says He's going to spew us out. We are living in a lukewarm generation that they do not have a no-so experience. It is a profession with their mouth, but their heart is far from God. Folks, we are not exempt from that because we've been raised around God's people. I have to go through the blood myself and I have to dedicate and give my love to the Lord that when others around me disappoint me, when others fail, when others do things that aren't right, it's, Lord, I still love you. And by your grace, I'm going to go forward.
Amen.
A no-so experience. So here, what's the condition of our love tonight? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God. Are we saved? Can we say, I know where I'm at with God, folks? There is victory in serving the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are some places, again, that there are areas of growth. And I want to emphasize that. There are areas of growth. There are areas that all of us need to be strengthened. If we ever get to the place individually, where as a congregation, or as a people of God, if we ever get to the place that we say we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And when you get to that place is when you start being judgmental on everybody else around you. It's when you start looking down your spiritual nose thinking that I've pretty much got it all. Folks, we're wretched in that place. All of us have areas in our life the Lord is wanting to perfect. He's wanting us to grow in Him. But it is still a life of victory. It is a life that when I'm down, the Lord gives us courage. When I'm sick, the Lord is still our our healer, when there are areas that I'm saying, Lord, I can't do it, I'm still finding this divine grace that is enabling me to do what I could not do in my own strength. That's a life of victory tonight. And if you don't have that kind of an experience, this is what this is all about. If we don't have this kind of experience, all of the standards, all of the doctrines, all of the theology, all of our heritage, what's it worth? Nothing. We just become an empty shell and we become another religion. I'm not interested in another religion tonight, but I want an experience with God that I know my name is written in heaven, that I can rejoice like Jesus said I could. Amen. Thank God we can all have that experience tonight. If you don't feel that little bubbling inside tonight, you know what I'm talking about? If you don't have that bubbling up inside, you can have it tonight. Oh, just come and drink from what the Lord has to offer this evening. We can know. Alright. That's the companion test. Love of the brethren. John, he gave it. There's a relationship test, the test of love, the test of victory. But there is also, we know we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Do you know there is something that when we love the Lord and have a real experience with God, there is a craving for fellowship. There is a craving to be with other of God's people. And I find that what happens when we begin to get discouraged, the enemy is there to compound that discouragement. And he tries to cause us to start feeling isolated. And that's the enemy that does that. And we begin to isolate ourselves, and pretty soon it's not us anymore, it's them. Are they having service today or are we having service? Oh, they're having potluck. No, we're having potluck. You know what I'm talking about? The enemy wants us to cause that distance. But Lord, if my love for my brethren has begun to wane a little bit, the Lord wants to renew that fervency tonight because it's going to affect our relationship with God. If I can't get along with my brother somewhere along the line, I'm going to start having problems in my own walk with the Lord. So if there are some areas that I'm struggling with, if there have been some offenses, if there have been some things that have been hurtful, folks, the Lord understands that. And He's there tonight with His arms wide open saying, just bring Him to me. Just bring Him to me and let me begin to heal and bind up that you can go out saying, I know. I know where I am. I know I love. I know I've forgiven. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And do what? Take up the cross. Now, does that sound attractive? The cross. Oh, do you know the cross has wondrous beauty tonight? The enemy, like he focuses, yes, the enemy focuses on the cross. And the cross is where there's a death. But you know, for there to be a resurrection, there has to be a death. If you will look beyond the cross tonight, there is a resurrection, a power that God has for us in our life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. But Jesus went on to say in another passage that if we do not take up our cross, we cannot be His disciple. So how do I know? How can I have a know-so experience? Because I've taken up the cross. Tonight, have you taken up the cross? There is a place of saying no to the world tonight. There is a place of saying no to my flesh. And you know, in this experience, in this journey with God, Michael's still here. And I still got to bring Michael under subjection. And the only way I can do that is with a power that's greater than what I have myself. So I've been saved. I've been forgiven of my sins. But now, and the Lord's saying, take up your cross. How can I do that? Jesus told His disciples. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with what? Power from on high. Again, this experience gets so convoluted and confused for people sometimes. I say often we just need to come back down to the basics of what Jesus said. Jesus said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. And then you'll go out and you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. At home, you'll be a witness of me at home. Now, do we have a no-so experience? Are we being a witness of the power of God in our homes? And He said, and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. He knew that His disciples and the believers that were saved needed to be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's been so confusing for people, but saints, tonight there is an experience. I know that I know my name's written in heaven and I know I've taken up my cross. Someone says, what's your cross? Well, I know I have a cross somewhere. Folks, when you take up your cross, you're going to know there's some things that you said no to.
Yeah.
There are some things that, or I remember just a while back praying, my wife was praying with someone and they said, I can give all this to the Lord, but this thing right here, I cannot give to the Lord. Do you know tonight she left the altar that way? I can't give that to God. Folks, that is the cross the Lord is looking for. You don't have to take up my cross. The Lord has a cross with my name on it. But He has things in your life that He's saying, take up your cross. And there have been people that have been sitting under the sound of the gospel for years and years and years and are denying the cross with their name on it. And they wonder why there's not a lot of joy in their salvation. They wonder why there's not a lot of power. It's because if you want power with God, you're going to have to take up your cross.
Amen.
Oh, this cross has wondrous glory tonight. If you will come and receive and take it up, you can go out saying, I know my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I've taken up my cross and I know I've experienced the power with God.
Amen.
Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, He sent it to people that had been forgiven of their sin. They didn't have to fight for it. They didn't have to twist His arm for it. They didn't have to work something up a lot. But they simply presented themselves before the Lord. And the Lord gave them power.
Yes.
Power to do what? Power to say no to self. Power to say no to the world. But even more importantly, power to say yes to God.
Yes.
Do you have that experience tonight? Do you know, there are a lot of uncertainties that people have in life. I just want you to know in the Lord tonight that you don't have to live your life with uncertainty.
Amen.
You don't have to go on just always questioning, am I saved or do I have the Holy Spirit? The Scripture says the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God.
Yeah.
Tonight, there's a time, and I know maybe we don't talk a lot about it. Probably not preached about enough. But there are times in our lives that we need to come back to the Lord and do some rededicating, some reconsecrating, some renewing of our love when it's gotten a little cold or when we're struggling and we get to that place that we're just confused and sometimes prayed with people say, I don't even know where I am. Tonight, the Lord wants you to leave here knowing where you're at.
Amen.
The Lord has something good for you that you can have that know-so experience that I know I have met God.
Amen.
And I can leave here tonight with that blessed assurance. A time that we can clear ourselves. Tonight, if there's some sin, or maybe you say, I'm not sure it was sin, but there are some areas that I know I failed. We don't have to struggle with those anymore. The good news is we can bring those things to the Lord and leave them at this altar. And when the devil tries to bring them back up, we can point to the altar and say they're under the blood. And maybe I don't really know how I got where I did, but I know I'm saved tonight by the blood of Jesus. I know that the Lord has given me of His Spirit. There's power over the enemy tonight. There's power through the blood. There's power through a testimony. And there's power through loving not our lives even unto death. See, that's an issue of the heart. That my love is the Lord's. Where's your love tonight? Do you have that kind of know-so experience? Do you know this kind of experience will supersede that ebb and flow of emotion that all of us have? This rises above feelings. It rises above those little whisperings of the enemy that there is an assurance that I have in my life, not because what I have done, but because of what God has done in my life. Is your name written in heaven tonight? Are you ready to meet God tonight? You say, I think so. You know, tonight, you can know. You can know. Do you have the Spirit of the Lord? We heard last night about that surrender. Have you made that surrender? Have you really come to that place that you just laying yourself on the altar and said, Lord, I am yours. Whatever you want me to do. You know, when I made that consecration, I didn't know what all God was going to require. When my wife married me, she didn't know what all that meant either. Do you know that? But guess what? Along the journey, I made some vows. I made some vows to my wife. I made some vows to the Lord. And Lord, that's where my heart is. Have you made that kind of consecration tonight? I am thankful for the assurance of a no-so experience. And if you're not settled tonight where you are with the Lord, you need not stay in that cloud of confusion. But we can all leave now tonight with that joy, saying, I know my name is written in heaven. May God bless you. Praise the Lord.